118, 718. And then once you've got that mark, let's turn to number 32. 32.
Brother Lloyd J. Hearns, who for a long time was president of and leader of the Memphis School of Preaching in Memphis, Tennessee, was very much involved in teaching the gospel, and he was out of a good work with which there was a lot being done by historians. And as a result, as far as I know, he put this together himself. As far as I know, he was the one who was the author of the reds and the blues and the numbering system of this that went along in his work. You'll notice that, as I have over here a sign, he had just literally dozens of these that he furnished to Brother Childers, who did these particular things by way of the DVD, because he didn't want them to be lost. He didn't want them to be not used at all. And so he was willing for this to be done. This particular one is the first one of this particular work. And in reference to that, I want to talk about signs that followed them. In Mark chapter 16, beginning at verse 14, Jesus is giving, according to Mark's account, the Great Commission. He's telling him to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He mentions in verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not will be condemned." The idea that he said is not finished at that particular verse in verse 16. He goes on down through that chapter to talk about this situation. These apostles were men who were just good men. Beginning back up in verse 11, you'll notice that these apostles, when the women came and told them that Jesus was not dead, that he had been raised from the dead, and that he was available to them once again, they disbelieved. They scoffed it off. They pushed it off. They had hardness of heart, and they didn't believe it. Didn't accept it from these women that this was true. But it was true, of course, because that was the case. Jesus, when he met up with them, upbraided them, the verse says, for their unbelief and hardness of heart. They didn't really believe in what he had told them about the resurrection from the dead, as they should have. They had to be convinced by the fact that their women were coming saying, yes, he is raised. His tomb is empty. Come and see. The place where the Lord lay is empty. And they knew that nobody had stolen the body away. They knew that that had happened and that Jesus had told them that that would take place on the third day. And that's what did take place. Because they believed not. But he taught them to go. And these signs, he said, shall follow them that believe. And notice that this particular time, he mentions to them these five or six things that they would be able to do, that they couldn't do at that moment in time. But if they followed him, they could do that. The Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 would come upon them and make it possible for them to speak in languages they'd never studied. They shall speak with new tongues. The new tongues are, of course, the languages. The people said that themselves in Acts 2. How do we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God? When the people were accusing them of being drunk and speaking with languages that just were not real, just blabbering out, they said, how could we do this? This is not the way with us. And so the people turned to one another and said, how do we understand every man in the tongue wherein we were born? They were speaking in languages. And I have the idea in mind that what took place there on that day, each of the apostles preached some, at least. Maybe at the time that they were, they spoke the various dialects that were there. Because there were Parlamites and Ethians and Medes and various other ones there. Strangers from Rome were there. And they could speak the Latin language, they could speak the Greek language, they could speak the Persian language and everything. And some of them spoke to this group, and some spoke to this group, and some spoke to this group, but they all spoke the same thing. They were preaching to them the word of the gospel, the kingdom of God. And so they would speak with new tongues, the wonderful works of God. He said, further, in my name they shall cast out devils. They shall take up serpents, it will not harm them. If they shall drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover. Notice Brother Hearn's emphasis on this particular point. Pronouns must agree in person and number and subject. The apostles are the people of verse 11. He upbraided them with their unbelief, because they believed not. He said unto them, go. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. Those are all in reference to the apostles. The apostles are the subject of that pronoun. And as a result, they would have any deadly thing that they would drink, they shall have them to be done at that day and time
There were noted people that had been killed because of poisons that had been added to the fluids that they drank. And among them, of course, would be Caesar himself. And that would be known of people who drank poisons and it killed them. And as a result of that, these would not be harmed. They would lay hand on the sick and they shall recover. Going over to the passage in Acts chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. Simon Peter is there in Jerusalem on this day. There was a man laid at the gate Beautiful, who was from his mother's womb, it is said, unable to get up on his feet, unable to walk. He was born that way. Everybody in town knew that this was the case with this man. And as a result of that time and that way, what happened was this. He made a request of anybody who came by. And Simon Peter, along with the apostles, came by. So he makes a request of them. What does Simon Peter say? Silver and gold have we none. But such as I have, that I freely give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, you rise up and walk. And suddenly that man felt strength in his ankles and strength in his lower bones of his legs, and he leaped up. I mean, when he could do that, he leaped up. And the people around there that saw this, they were amazed. They began to call upon others, come here and see a man who's been laid here all this time, all his age, since he was a young boy. He was laid by his parents here for alms to be given to a little can, a little box, a bucket, a little basket for him. And this would be given to him. And he's been here and now he is a man. That's 18 years had gone by. And he'd been there every day and now that he could suddenly walk. How in the world can this happen? They began to ask and ponder that. They walked up to Simon Peter and they said, how is this? Can you do this? And he denied that. He said, do you think we as apostles are able to do this? Do you think that we, by our power, can do this? We didn't do this by our power. It was God's Son that we revere, and Son of God that we teach unto you. This one gave us this power that in His name, when you call upon Him, He has the power to do this. And that man lives and walks because of that power. This is the kind of thing that he said there. They shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. This man recovered. Immediately he recovered. He was strengthened and he was able to go about his work and activities, talking to others about it and telling others about it. And I don't know how this happened. He couldn't explain that, but it did happen because of that faith, Peter says to him, that faith that you had in the Lord Himself. You believe that what we said was true. And therefore, when you believe what we said was true, you had strength to come into your limbs, and you could walk and you could do things like this. He leapt up when he was there strengthened. What a blessing he had. What did that prove? What did that set up? That set up the idea that the gospel was a message of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and at verse 4. He says that this speaking of the gospel of Jesus Christ was done in spirit and in power. The power of the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were able to speak in languages they had never studied, but they were able to speak in those languages. Now today, people cannot do that. When somebody says, I've got the power of the Holy Spirit, demonstrate it. That's all I say to them. Demonstrate that you can speak in languages you've never studied. There are people who go overseas and they go to languages that they have not ever studied, they've never practiced on. No. When they come back, they tell people, you go to a special school in Atlanta, Georgia, or over in Dallas, Texas, or out in Los Angeles, California, that will teach you this language to which you're going. If it's Japan, if it's China, or if it's Philippines, whatever it is, they teach them the language. And what language? You don't teach everything. They teach them how to say water, because we need water. They teach them how to say Jesus, because they need Jesus. We teach them how to have a power that they say that they got instantly. But they didn't have it instantly. They studied it just like all of us would have to do when we go to a country that we didn't know the language of. We'd have to study it. We'd have to practice it. And as we do, the people would walk up to us and say, well, you're not the coloration of our country. You're not the skin tone of our country. You're not from here. How can you speak our language? And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. How do we hear them speak, the apostles speak? In our tongues, the wonderful works of God. They knew what was being spoken to them. The wonderful works of God. They understood the message that was being delivered. God wanted them to do that because that's exactly what they were about to do. In Acts chapter 28, verses 3 through 5, the Apostle Paul is on his way to Rome. And of course, he's told them in chapter 27, he's told them that unless they cast all of the things that they treasure and hope to have to eat and drink and so forth off overboard, there will be no one saved on that ship. There was a terrible storm that came up. I mean, it was a terrible storm. It's under the Greek term about it, korahat. It's a terrible storm that's come. And they were shipwrecked, and Paul knew that that was going to be the case, though, because the Spirit of God had revealed to him what was going on, and the Spirit of God, his God, had told him, unless the people put their trust in what you're saying, they will not be saved from this storm. So he tells the man who's captain of the ship, he says, you must cast all these things over, or we will not be saved. And the captain believed him and told them to cast everything out, and they did, and they were safe at shore. But as they were at shore, there was another great powerful sign that was shown. That powerful sign was the natives, who were barbarians themselves, were extra kind to them. The first verse of the Acts chapter 28 tells them they were extra kind. No little compassion was shown upon them. And that means that they had extra. They were proud to see them and glad that they were there, safe from the storm, and they were there on the shore. And so when they were there on the shore, they began to put together a fire because it was cold. And you know, we tell young people coming to camp sometime, bring something warm for you to wear because you're close to the lake. And the lake and the wind on the lake brings that coolness over as far as a mile away to the campground. And you'll be cold in the morning times if you don't do that. And you need to have something over you, an on. And we'll have sometimes unknown people from South Mississippi particularly that'll say, it's July the 4th, isn't it? The week of July the 4th, and it's going to be cold. And they don't believe it, and they don't bring a thing, but they're looking for somebody who's got something extra to put on cover because it gets cold in the morning times there. Even in July the 4th, it does. And so it is the case that with this, they were cold. And so they started up a fire. And unbeknownst to them, there was a viper that was in that fire. When Paul ran around, he gathered up some sticks. He didn't gather the viper up, but he gathered up some sticks. But as he adored the fire, you know how you've got some kindling there, and then you've got a fire that you can raise if you put some extra sticks on it. And he was putting those extra sticks on to raise up that fire. And suddenly that viper came out of that fire and latched onto his hand. Did not let him go. That viper was there and he was hung on his hand. And all the venom that they knew that that viper had, it was deadly. They thought should suddenly have caused him to faint and then kill him. But Paul stood there. He didn't shake him off. He just let it be. And he was still there. And they couldn't believe it. They could not believe this. What in the world? Everybody else has been bitten by a viper, has died within a few minutes of time. So they determined they'd just wait around a little while. They'd just see what took place this. There were those who took him to their house. No doubt they might have been thinking, we'll see how he labors through the night. Okay, and he won't be with us in the morning. But he was there in the morning time. He was there because the Lord had said, they shall take up serpents, and it shall not hurt them. They shall drink deadly poison. People who would be there to poison them, unbeknownst to what they were fixing to drink, would not hurt them. And it would convince them, hey, we're dealing with men who are from God, like they say. We're dealing with men who serve Jesus Christ, the Son of God, like they say. And so they would believe in Jesus, and they believe in that message, and it would be a world of difference in their lives. The viper that latched on to Paul was of no problem to him. Hebrews 2 at verse 4 tells us that God bore them witness with signs and wonders and miracles of the Holy Ghost. God bore them witness. The them here is, of course, these apostles. And Paul was an apostle, and he had that great power that was granted to him. These signs confirm the word. That's what the last verse of Mark chapter 16, verse 20 says. That the apostles went forth preaching the gospel. Everywhere they went, they were teaching the kingdom of God, and they were teaching the gospel of the Lord, the good news of the kingdom. We know in our study Wednesday night that that kingdom is the ultimate place of victory. That's the ultimate place where we're going. And the church, we're faithful in the church and faithful to the membership of the church. If we're faithful to do what, as Brother John told us this morning, if we're faithful to go, or if we're faithful to sin, or if we're faithful to give and help out those who go, we're people who are going to be blessed eternally. And so we can believe God just as well as they could believe God at that day and time, because these signs would follow them that believe. Notice in this regard, when we have them in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, it tells us that they went to preach the gospel to everybody, and the Lord went with them, confirming the word they were preaching, with signs following. Did they go out there just saying, believe this because I'm a good person and I have a good voice and you can hear me and everything is, no. You believe me because I have the power of God to tell you this in truth. And I have the power of God to resist anything you do to me. If you gave me a poison, it would not hurt me. If you were a person who would be hurtful to me and intentionally lay hands upon me, no, I can heal those who are sick in your community. I can help you out because God is with me. This God is with me. These men here in Acts chapter 28, they immediately concluded that Paul was a god. He was one from the Mount Olympus. He was one from these places of their mysteries and their ideals. And he's one that can do it. He can do it because of this. He's God. And Paul denied that that's the case. No, we're not God. But we serve this God of heaven. We serve him who sent his son to die in our place and bear our sins in his own body upon the cross. He sent him to do that. And that's what you and I believed. And that's when we were baptized into Christ. We found ourselves putting on the practice. And we were promised that we are raised to walk in newness of life. And that as we're in that newness of life, if we mess up and go back to some of the old days and the old times of the past, if you confess your sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. For the Lord went with them. He went with them so they'd teach the righteousness of God and practice the righteousness of God. The more that we go in life, the longer that we live, the more we see that that's the case in our lives. God's not left us alone. He's not left us in our day and time to suffer alone. He's left us to go through a suffering time, just like they went through suffering times. But they had a way in which they could look at the situation and say, God is still with me. And these things are still a blessing to me. And there will be ultimate blessings for us if we serve him loyally. And so it is the case. In the writing and reading here of John chapter 20, John writes as he closes out this letter, Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life through his name. If I believe in him like I should, will I repent when he told me to repent? Luke chapter 13, verse 3, sure. When he told me to confess him and he would confess us before the Father in heaven in Matthew 10, 32, will I confess him? Yes, I will. When he told me to repeat, believe and be baptized for the remission of my sins and he would save me, would I believe that he'll save me if I do that? Sure will. And I'll put it into practice. Can I believe when John wrote, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you? You that are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. Right there in verses 3, 4, 5, and 6, he says they're in fellowship with the Father and the Son. So you're in fellowship with the Father and the Son. If we sin, and if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the God of heaven. He's promised to do that to us. And we must believe that that's the case or we'll miss out on the times of the future. When Brother Hearn preached this gospel, he talked about this message, Romans 1:16, that Paul wrote. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You think I'm ashamed of anything I preach tonight? Am I ashamed of that? Would I deny that? For any reason, or any price, would not deny that. This is what God has said. This is what he said he would reward us with. And if we die because of that, what's the reason? Because men did not believe what he said. And we did believe what he said. And so we are. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Going back to Habakkuk, the prophet of old, the just shall live by faith. We do that, and we're hit. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it tells us that God furnished us his word, and he's furnished us to his word, that it's the word of God that is inspired of God. And that God breathed is the word inspired. It's inspired. God breathed it. And it's inspired. It's the word of God. When we're reading from this, that's what makes it so different than any novel that we read, any mystery story that we read, any romance novel that we see. Because those are words that if we didn't have experience with something, we wouldn't be able to understand those words. But with the Word of God, as we read it, it has God's message being spoken to us. How did I know that this is the Word of God? I believe it. I believe it because these men went forth. And they started out with unbelief, but they were told to believe. And they were told these signs would follow them. And these signs did follow them. And the scripture maintains that they did. And the examples that they had were strong. And so it is the case that this word is inspired of God and is profitable. It's going to benefit you. It's going to give you a profit. It's profitable for our doctrine. It's the doctrine of the Lord I've talked about. For reproof. It tells us that there are certain things we ought not to say, there are certain places we ought not to go, and there are certain things we ought not to do. It reproves us. It's a negative word. It's an idea of reproving. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. It's going to correct us. It shows how we do better. How we stay away from that place, how we stay away from those words, how we stay away from those deeds. It tells us what we can do. We don't think of those deeds when we're here at worship service. We ought to have more services then. and we would have less temptations to do things that we would otherwise be tempted to do. Why is there a Wednesday night service? Because the Bible says do it. No, the Bible says that every day they gathered in the early church because they needed to know the knowledge of the doctrine, and they needed to know the gospel. They met every day. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, they met daily. The Lord bearing them witness with signs followed. They could show the signs and powers that they had. And they said, this is the message of God for you to believe and practice. And that's what they did. And notice that it's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That message is for telling me about things that are right to do, right to worship, right to serve. This young lady I was telling you about, who will be listening to this particular message on the internet, way over there in Ghana. She lives in a city of 2.8 million people. And she's not yet been willing to give the address that she lives at, so that I, Jerry Bates, can call his friend over there and tell him where that place is so that he can take some food stuff back to her house. And her grandmother's house, she says. And today she calls back again, and I tell her about this lesson and this people being there. And I say, if you'll go to CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com, you'll be able to hear what was preached this morning by a missionary doing work in Mexico. And you can hear what Robert Lawson says about signs following tonight. Will she? I don't know. I hope so. I hope she's been restored to an attitude about the gospel and the teaching of the Word of God that I've tried to teach her since the beginning, because I didn't give her any answer. When she raised a question about her salvation, and I said, have you considered this in your salvation? No, I haven't. Well, consider repentance. Consider confession. Consider baptism. Consider worshiping in spirit and in truth. Consider forgiveness of others, because they are sinned against us. We'll forgive others rather than hold grudges. Well, it's a way of life to live. This is what the Bible says. It's not what I say. It's not what I taught her. It's what the Bible says. So if she comes back tonight and says, I've heard this and I understand this, then it's because of the gospel teaching that's done. That's the way to do it. And I believe that's the way to do it for people here and mine in this community. I was talking to a man here in this community when I first got here and everything, and he invited me into his house, and he sat down there with me a minute, and we were talking about the gospel teaching, and I won't make the noise for all the things of the recording night, but he hit his hand on the table. If he's listening tonight, I don't know if he would be. You'll hear him. You know who he is. I won't tell you. He said, I swore, preacher, years ago I would not ever have another discussion with a Church of Christ member. And I said, why? And he said, well, they always tell me I'm wrong about what I'm believing. And I said, what did I tell you? Well, you didn't tell me I was wrong. I said, my question was, is that what the Bible says? And I gave you a verse of Scripture. And is that what it says in that verse of Scripture about salvation? He looked down at his book and he said, you're saying that God says that to me, I'm saying that God said that to you. And that's God's word to you. That's the same God's word to me. And that's what I did when I obeyed the gospel. I obeyed that word. That's what you need to obey. He said, I can't believe it. We followed up with another couple of times, but he got with his preacher and he got with his friends and he got with his family and they said, you don't want to go down there to that church. You don't want to go down there where he is. And he said, but I do. And I said, you don't want to come down here where I am. You want to come down here where the word of the Lord is taught and practiced. Taught and preached. I hope someday he will. I'll knock at that door once again in the future. After this pandemic goodbye, it's messed up a lot of visitation, a lot of time knocking at the door. But nevertheless, that's the idea. This is the word of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the word of God might be believed and practiced. These signs would follow them that believed and saw follow them. And Brother Harold Hearn did this.
Demanding, whose is the voice I hear? Sweetly the tones are falling. Open the door for me. If thou shalt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart I hasten, thee will I open wide. Though he rebuke and chasten, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tones are falling, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee.
What a blessing we have. I would like to show you what
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pasture, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful to thee for this opportunity to come and study the most close to your word. We pray each one here has been benefited by it. God, God, direct us and forgive us for our sins. For the first time we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you, sir.
Well, have a good day.
Appreciate it.
I'll leave that part on the...